This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. It is January 8th, 2022. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Todd Cunin, and our producer, Cal Hunter. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We like to thank and appreciate WMAY 92.7 FM, Springfield, Illinois. Welcome to Radio Law Talk. Welcome, welcome. We also appreciate... We have got WKUL in Coleman, Alabama. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being part of the Radio Law Talk family. We're just a family here. Denise Dirks is a family law attorney. I'm a personal injury lawyer. And Todd is a former prosecutor of the DA's office in Tennessee and in California, and now does represents people who have allegedly committed a crime.
Allegedly. Innocent until proven guilty.
That's exactly right. And we do truly believe that. We push that here. We are a neutral. Radio Law Talk is neutral. We like to be politically neutral. In fact, the back of our T-shirt says, when you're tired of politics radio, tune in to Radio Law Talk. But you're going to hear both sides here. If you want to call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Again, 855-529-7234. Look, well, this is an exciting, probably by far the most exciting, entertaining, and sometimes informative show on earth. But remember this. If general topics of law we're talking about, we're not giving legal advice. Seek local counsel. Don't be saying, look, you know, I heard on Radio Law Talk. With the exception, we always say it's probably okay around the dinner table, especially when the in-laws are over. And they always try to knock you down, and they use the they say argument. Well, you know, they say. You're going to say, well, I don't know who Mr. They is, but in Radio Law Talk, they say as follows, right? And then just throw out Radio Law Talk, you know, say, hey, they're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, and RadioLawTalk.com. That's the thing. That's what you can do. But today we're going to talk about Hour 2. We had a great Hour 1. By the way, you can go to RadioLawTalk.com, and you can go and listen to our podcasts of the former shows. And we talked about the Elizabeth Holmes Theramos trial that just occurred in the Bay Area. Now we're going to be talking this hour about Maxwell's trial and why we believe why there may be some serious issues here on appeal, which means probably a new trial, which does not mean she's not going to go to jail. It just means there's going to be another trial, probably. And we'll discuss that. We're also going to get into Nirvana wins a lawsuit. We're going to talk about a Jackass lawsuit, believe it or not. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what it's called, and that's the name of the show. We're going to talk about a gun law, a California gun law that is being proposed. We're going to talk about the laws and how that might apply. But we've got some interesting things to discuss. But before we do any of that stuff, you're here for one thing, and that's case or no case that Cal Hunter loves to roll.
Here we go. Now it's time to play case or no case.
Speaking of California and guns, now to Hollister, California, an exclusive gated neighborhood where a woman came home from shopping and wrangling the kids one afternoon and found a strange man in her closet with a knife and a machete. This concerned her. So she was able to grab her firearm, and the man is alleged to have rushed upon her. She fired once, hitting him in the leg. Then she led the police, the district attorney, and all of them to him. They came to talk to her and say, "What were you thinking?" She said, "I was trying to save my life and that of my two children. He was in my house." The DA asked the Hollister police to arrest the woman and take her down to headquarters because it's not proper to shoot someone attacking you in your own home unless it can be established that your life is in danger.
Oh, Cal's, you can tell Cal's getting on a roll on this one.
I'm just reading it here. The machete was dull. The knife was a butter knife. So there wasn't really in danger, they said. She called her family attorney who came to bail her out. She said, "I don't know what the DA's thinking. Do they have a case or no case?" And Denise, I think it's your turn to lead off on this one. Case or no case? What say you?
Oh, boy.
These things aren't easy, are they?
No, this one's hard. This one's hard because what you do so well, Cal, is you like to invoke the emotions of all of us, and you know how to play us.
Thank you.
And you know that I'm going to be one that's going to be like, oh, she had a right to use deadly force or not. That's really the question, right?
I think it is.
And he had a dull knife, a butter knife, and he had a dull machete. Well, come on, a machete is enough to do damage. So I don't think she used unreasonable force. But there's something here. I don't know what it is. I do think it's a case for some reason. Because you were so excited about it.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm easily excited, Dr.
Yeah, but there's also facts that don't lean out. And there are facts that don't hold out. And that is, why would the DA, why would all of that go to her house? Why would she go show him where the man was? Because that doesn't make sense.
I know this, having been on many a crime scene, and you probably have too. It is not unusual for the DA, especially in the smaller community, to go. And to look himself. If he can't get rid of investigators there, he goes and looks himself. And that is what happened in Hollister. So that's why.
So she was arrested.
Yep.
You know what? I don't think she was ever prosecuted. I'm going to say it's a true scenario, but not a case.
Fair enough. Fred Penny, what do you say about this?
I think it's a case. I think it's an actual case and one that Cal's upset about because it makes him so mad that she wasn't able to protect herself. I think if you look at the facts, I bet it was like a family member or a friend that was there and probably intoxicated and had a butter knife and they got in an argument and she shot him. But because that just sounds too crazy to prosecute a woman for defending her kids and herself from a guy with a knife in her home.
I want you to remember the state where this occurred.
I know. It's California.
Okay.
It's California, which California tries to argue that you have to first try to flee before you, try to get out of the situation before you shoot someone that's attacking you in your house, which is stupid.
Silly.
But anyway, we're politically neutral here. But still, I think it's a case, and there's something weird about it, and this is true. Everything about it is true.
So what happens in the case? What's the result?
They drop the case. She's not processed. I mean, they end up dropping the case against her.
Okay, Mr. King, what do you think?
She wins then.
Yeah, she wins.
Well, I need to clarify a couple of things.
Sure. Uh-oh, okay. Here we go. Now so, I'm on the cross-examination.
So, Cal Hunter, if that is your real name.
Pablo.
Yes. So let me ask you this first.
Sure.
Where was the suspect when she shot him?
He was coming out of the closet toward her with a machete and a butter knife.
Okay, so he was in her house.
Inside her home,
okay.
In the closet. She opened the door to put her clothing away. There's a man in there. She grabs her gun. He comes out. Boom, boom. There you go.
Okay. And you also said that the DA, how did the DA show up? The guy took off and...
No, she got him in the leg, wounded him pretty seriously, burst an artery and stuff. The DA was told there was a shooting, and he was called.
Okay. And then the last question is, if she was arrested but no charges were filed, that would still be a no case, correct?
I would think so.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going with no case. I don't necessarily think she was necessarily arrested, and I think you could be making this up, and I understand that DAs can make it out. Usually DAs only go out on homicide cases because they have to look, not an active investigation like this. I am going no case. Also because you were lobbying too hard to make people think it was a case when they were raising the same concerns. I am going no case on this one.
All right. So you're following me.
I am. But okay. I'm doing it lovingly, unlike you when you follow me. I hate Todd. Can't believe I got to do
that. I know. That's what she said last hour. There was some despicable.
I didn't say hate. I said dislike.
All right, children. We'll be back after this. We'll find out case or no case. Who's correct? I think I might be right. I think it's a case.
The answer's coming. Don't go away. More Radio Law Talk, including the answer to case or no case, is right straight ahead.
Radio Law Talk can be heard on RadioLawTalk.com from 9 to noon Pacific Time every Saturday. That's RadioLawTalk.com. Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA. I've got to get my car washed. The dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this better shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went...
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Stop whining.
Oh, come on.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So we're in Hollister, California, and apparently a lady's in her house and out from the closet comes a man with a machete and a butter knife, and she shoots him in the leg and supposedly according to this scenario, they prosecute her or at least arrest her for unwanted use of a firearm due to the fact that she didn't need to because he only had a butter knife. So, Cal, I said this is a case and she gets acquitted or they don't prosecute her, and Denise and Todd say it is not a case, it's a scenario.
So I think you're both saying the same thing, and the answer to this is yes, this woman was in fact arrested by the district attorney in Hollister, California.
Yes.
But after pressure from the community and further review and the facts of the case, no charges were ever.
See, I was right, though.
So you lose.
No, I said it was a case because they arrested her.
No, it was not.
And then they dropped it.
It's not a case.
But they didn't drop it because they didn't bring the case.
It's not a case till the DA files charges.
Hey, you're the judge over there, Mr.
That is why I specifically asked that question.
Well, I think you did it well. I think you all three said the same thing, honestly. And so therefore,
well, except for he said there was a case and we said it wasn't.
But it's the same thing. I said that I think it was a case. They arrested her.
No, arrest is not a case.
Yeah.
You have to bring charges.
Cal's the ultimate judge.
As Cal? I said, you all said the same thing. You all get the same number of points. Next
yes.
hour. Next hour,
right. we're going to wobble next
appeal.
Time.
Appeal.
Next hour, we're going to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where a man and woman decide to buy a house together. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. That's next hour on Case or No Case. Now back to Radio Law Talk.
Cal, I'll get your $20 bill a little bit later, okay?
Yeah, what it feels like. I'm telling you.
No.
Take that butter knife and stick it in my back.
It was dull.
Can you tell that the lawyers, Cal, are very competitive?
Not competitive and bone in their bodies.
Denise not is not competitive at all.
No.
I would love to see her lose at cards.
She just went out and left me out on one of my tires.
I don't lose.
Oh, too much laughing. Hey, we appreciate that, Cal. Good job. Next hour, Cal's going to get us, try to stump us again. Look, let's talk about this Maxwell trial. So, look, does anybody, who wants to give an overview? Because giving an overview of this, I think everybody knows, is Jeffrey Epstein. You know, he was arrested for supposedly, you know, having sex trafficking and doing things with minors, and he dies in jail. Interestingly, supposedly kills himself. We don't know there. But his, quote, madam, or his first assistant, is now in jail, but they're prosecuting her and did prosecute her for basically being the madam or being in charge of doing all these things for him.
Procurement,
sex trafficking is what it is. And she's found guilty of sex trafficking, right?
That is correct.
And so what we're going to discuss here is a little bit about the trial and then what happens afterwards. Tell us generally, both of you, what entails in picking a jury and what the process is and what they have to go through.
Okay, swing left. Swing left. The process of picking a jury, first you have a jury pool, and they have a questionnaire. And the questionnaire, they have to answer certain questions, those potential jurors do. And usually the questions are geared toward trying to find out if people have certain biases, you know, or experiences that may cause bias. And then the judge and or the attorneys get to ask questions of those jurors based on the questionnaires.
That is correct. Look, the whole idea is, can you find a fair and impartial jury? And everybody who comes to the jury, everybody reports for jury duty. Some people absolutely can be fair and impartial, but there are some people that report for jury duty that because of certain things that might have happened in their past, maybe it would be difficult for them to sit as a jury. In my experience, in the jury trials I've done, those that have that in their past are usually the first ones to put their hand up and say, you know what, judge, I think that I might have trouble being fair and impartial. And when it comes to cases dealing with the subject matter of sexual assault, often folks who are proposed jurors who have some sort of sexual assault or something where they were a victim of something in the past happened to them are usually the first to say, because of my experience, personal experiences with this, things that have happened to me, probably not the best person to sit as the juror. And the questionnaires and the questions from the attorneys, in addition to other things, are designed to
identify those individuals. Now, they don't make them talk about it in public most of the time in a case like that. And the ones that I have done as a prosecutor, if somebody raises their hand and says, hey, I have this thing in my past, I don't want to talk about it, they'll clear the courtroom so it's only the judge, the attorneys, and the court reporter, and then the person can talk privately about what happened and make a determination as to whether or not that person should stay as a juror. In the Maxwell case, cutting to the quick here, after the conviction, because Maxwell was convicted, what, of 5 of 6 counts of essentially assisting Jeffrey Epstein in his nefarious activities, one of the jurors gave an interview shortly thereafter. His name, he identified his first and middle name, Scotty David. We don't know his last name. But he made some statements in his interview which have raised the eyebrows of the defense and caused an investigation to be started about possible juror misconduct regarding things not only that he should have disclosed, potentially during jury selection, but the manner in which he performed his duty as a juror once the jurors retreated to deliberate about the case. And it has raised some significant issues of fairness. Now, so what time are we at here?
Jury misconduct.
Yes.
Isn't that really what it comes down to?
That's what they're going to investigate to see if it rises to the level of juror misconduct. That's one. And two, whether or not that conduct is something that swayed the decision and led to guilty verdicts. And we come back from break, we're going to talk about what it was alleged that he should have disclosed, what it was alleged that he did in the jury room, and what effect that had, leading to the 5 out of 6 guilty verdicts.
Hence, those who win cases, the lawyers who win, cringe when the juries walk away and the defense or whoever lost is over there trying to talk to them. It's like, shut up, don't say anything. Not that there's anything wrong, but you never know when they say something and then it makes an easy appeal. We're going to talk about why this is an appealable offense, what happened. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk will continue in just a little bit right here. Stay right where you are.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Are you struggling with a high cost of prescription medications? How would you like to save up to 90% on your medications and have them delivered for free? Now you can with one simple call. Yes, save up to 90% on many of your prescription medications by calling A+ BBB accredited healthwarehouse.com based in Florence, Kentucky. No gimmicks, no coupons, no cards to use. And all prescriptions are FDA approved and safely sent to your home with free delivery. Here's one example of your savings. A 90-day prescription of generic Lipitor can cost $90 at your local pharmacy. Healthwarehouse.com offers the same medication for about $20. Find out how much you can save on your prescription medications and get free delivery with one free call right now.
Call 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229. That's 800.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court is considering the Biden administration's vaccine mandate on large employers. During oral arguments about the mandate, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor stated, "We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, many on ventilators, from COVID-19. In reality, there are about 4,000 children in hospitals from coronavirus. Flight delays and cancellations are continuing to plague travelers over a week into 2022. Total cancellations topping 3,000 Saturday, with 1,100 within, into, or out of the United States. Airports along the East Coast are bearing the brunt of the problems as heavy snowfall moved through the area." And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake. Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk. And now, back to the show.
We're talking about Maxwell again, the interesting things about what this juror did after the case. Miss Maxwell was found guilty on 5 counts of sex trafficking, and yet this individual, by the first and middle name only, Scotty David, goes out and says some interesting things. He goes out with interviews and says some interesting things. One interesting thing he said to me was that, quote, he knew she was a predator after making eye contact with her. It's like, you know what, guy? Innocent until proven guilty, right? I mean, that's just bizarre that he says that. And then he goes out and he says the question is, he was supposed to fill out a questionnaire and supposed to tell the judge and or the other attorneys about his history if he feels it may affect him as a juror and or if the court feels that it may affect him as a juror. And by the way, not only has defense asked to investigate this, I'm going to put a positive on the prosecutors. They said, we need to look into this also. Mm-hmm. And so, good for prosecution for, as Todd Kuhnin has always said, as a former prosecutor, it's not about winning. It's about what's doing right. You know, if the person's truly guilty, then you prosecute them. If it's not, then who cares if you win or not, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, but he has had his own history with child sex abuse. And then he brought it up with other people in the juries in order to, in the jury deliberation to help them understand, you know, how Maxwell's victims felt. In other words,
couldn't remember. That was right. The hardest part. I mean, I was so stunned by this. And I in this particular case, too, the juror questionnaire, this one was I don't know. I don't understand it. But it was very detailed. It asked a question. Have you or a friend or a family member been a victim of sexual abuse or sexual assault? There were three ways to answer it. Yes, for yourself. Yes, as to a friend or family member. Or no. Now, we don't know how this guy answered because those questionnaires were anonymous, which to me is crazy. I mean, you should have some way to recognize which potential jurors did the questionnaire so you can ask the right questions, follow-up questions.
Well, I need to look at that again. I'm typically the questionnaires that they have.
Have the names.
Because a questionnaire is of no value if you don't know which potential juror it refers
exactly.
to. Exactly. And so, and some people have said, well, that's kind of a broad question because it's asking three different things, you, a family member, somebody else. Well, the reason why they ask a question with three like that is because if let's say there's just one question on there, says, have you ever been the victim of a sexual assault? And you say yes. And before they get into it in a jury out where you talk about the circumstances, everybody knows that you personally have been the victim of sexual assault. If they ask a three-pronged question where it could be you, a friend, or a family member, and you say yes, now you're not saying, I have been the victim. So your anonymity as to that incident is protected. They say, would you like to talk about it? Yes. Everybody goes out. And then when it's more private, you can say, it was me, it was my family member, it was somebody else. So that's a way of protecting their anonymity. But
well, plus, you can be a victim of it, but not have been the sexual assault victim. Like, you could have a child that was a victim,
and
you're victimized as well. Right?
That is true, but I think the questionnaire identifies that, where it
exactly.
says you or a family member. And so, as opposed to a direct victim versus indirect, if it was a family member that happened to. But the problem that I've got with what Mr. This juror did was he later said, first he said that he wasn't asked, and then he said, well, I kind of blew through the questionnaire.
Right.
And so it was clearly there. It was something he should have. The bottom line is this. It was there. It was something that he should have disclosed. Putting aside whether or not he has committed misconduct, let's just put that aside. Whether or not he has committed misconduct or if it was an honest mistake, let's put that aside and look at, did his presence on the jury constitute a prejudicial, create a prejudicial effect on whether or not, on Maxwell? Did
yes.
she get a fair jury because he was on the jury pool?
And what he did in the deliberations as well, right?
And I think based upon his statement that he was a prior victim and what he says is when there were issues that came up in the jury box about witnesses who might have forgotten things, that's when he said, I have gone through this, and he educated the jurors as to why some people may forget or misremember things. Well, guess what? Now the jury is considering evidence that was not presented at trial. You are acting as an advocate in the jury room.
And as an expert, almost.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely your presence in the jury. In the jury room, deliberating had a prejudicial effect on Maxwell and affected her ability to get a fair trial.
Absolutely.
Putting aside whether it was misconduct to blow through the questionnaire, then you also have to recognize and analyze, was it misconduct for him to introduce things to the jury that was not evidence? Yes,
that was totally.
Yes, it was. And even if he blew through the questionnaire, the jury instructions say, essentially, if it didn't come from a witness sitting in the chair or a marked exhibit, don't consider it. Right?
Right.
Or just not that. Don't come out as an, I'm not going to say an expert. Oh, he didn't say he was an expert. Well, let me tell you how it happened with me. You know, that's basically what he said to the jurors. And by the way, there are some reports out there that are saying that some of these jurors did have doubts about the test people testifying that whether or not that were
their memories.
They actually
questioned the memories.
Yeah.
Now here's oh.
Well, I was just going to say, that's the hard part, was that those reports are coming from the same guy, Scotty David, where he's taking credit for swaying the jury. They couldn't figure it
exactly.
out. They couldn't figure it out because they were caught up on whether or not, on people that couldn't remember things, and essentially holding himself out as, I saved the day and got the conviction because I told them what it was like.
Yeah, so, very, very, very odd. This guy, to me, has got to be off a little bit because I don't understand it. But when the prosecutions actually requested an inquiry, which this is important, then the defense says, hey, don't need an inquiry because what has gone on is incontroversial grounds for a new trial.
Right, it's automatic.
So it's automatic is what they're saying, but it's not. The actual standard requires substantial evidence of juror misconduct. So they do have to do an inquiry. Even though it's so clear in my feeling and your feelings here, they're going to have to go through an inquiry. And I think we're all on the same page. We believe she's going to get. If this is appealed, she is going to get a new trial.
Yeah, that's so obvious. If that's what he said to all these reporters, and the fact that he goes out after this trial and goes out and wants to, you know, I know some jurors do that. They want to go on TV. They want to get their name out there. You know what? I don't know. Maybe as a juror, I'm just like, you know, I don't want to talk about it, right? Especially a case like this.
Yes. Right? And one of the things he said that just really bothered me was he said, this guilty verdict is a verdict for all victims, not the people in the case, but all victims. And he's a victim.
He wanted to make it about himself.
It is about himself.
Yeah.
And totally wrong. I don't know. I'm so surprised this happened. After all the trial and all the trauma.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I wanted to say here is, I hope they do an inquiry, not only twofold inquiry. Did it adversely affect the jury? And I think that they did. I think even the prosecution, the defense would agree on that. But does this rise to the level of perjury on his part for not disclosing this stuff, misconduct for which he can be held liable? He's now retained an attorney since he made these statements in the press.
Right.
And I think that if they do find and determine through the inquiry that there was juror misconduct that is actionable against the juror, I hope they take some action. Because my fear is that what we are seeing as things go forward, because you had a lot of people in the Elizabeth Holmes trial that gave their names and talked to the press right after. You've got the Maxwell trial where they gave their names and talked right after, the jurors did, which is so different than other trials where jurors said, well, I'll talk to the press, but I want to remain anonymous. I just want to move on with my life. I want this to be done with. My fear is that in high-profile cases, if they don't come down on this guy, you're going to have jurors that look to monetize their jury service. And that is going to throw the biggest wrench into the entire process, where you have jurors wanting to sit as a juror on a case so that they can get some sort of financial gain as a result of that. And the way to nip it in the bud is to investigate this and make sure it doesn't happen.
I totally agree with you. Oh, my gosh. I must be losing my mind, but I agree.
Well, what are the legal implications for this guy? Can he face criminal charges, civil only? How does that work?
Technically, yes. I don't think they're going to do anything about it. That's just me. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Nirvana lawsuit. That's an interesting one we're going to discuss. And we might touch a little bit more on this about Prince Andrew issues. We'll be back.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk with Fred Penny, Todd Kuenner, and Denise Dirks. And the program will continue in just a little bit right here. Stay tuned. Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away. Fred, Todd, and Denise will be right back with more Radio Law Talk after we take this break.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Learn how thousands...
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar four or more times a day and inject insulin three or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
This is the best show ever. I'm mean at this time.
This is Radio Law Talk.
I love our kitty bumps, and you can hear Cal laughing in the background. Play that one again. Those are the best one. That is the one where the kids go, this is the best show.
And then, the best show ever.
I love it.
I mean at this time.
I mean at this time. This is the best show ever.
Who told you that?
This is the best show ever again.
This is the best show ever.
Okay, let's keep that one. Keep that one and play that every week. I think we make that kitty bump at the very beginning of the show. Hour one, Cal. Let's just remember that.
So we'll play the open, and then we'll play This is the Best Show
Ever.
Yes,
and then you go to me.
Okay, I like it.
Let's do that. Sure, this is the best show ever. Oh, I love that one. Okay, so we wanted to, during the break, I say we're going to go on and then talk about the Nirvana case. But we have a few more things we want to discuss on the Maxwell case. First of all, what's going to happen? First of all, we think that there's going to get a new trial, right? Yes, we all agree that.
I think that's going to be the case, yeah.
New trial. Even with the prosecution usually going, we better look into this. What do you think is going to happen to Maxwell about quote, ratting on other people. What do you think about that, Todd?
Okay, so her brother, I think it was, came out and said now that she is convicted, she's not going to start, she's not going to divulge the contents of the black book. She's not going to rat out other people. She's not going to start naming names. I view that as a self-preservation mechanism that he was directed, and I bet you Maxwell probably told him to do that. Here's why. What's the speculation as it relates to Jeffrey Epstein? You even said it when you were introducing this case, Fred. You said he allegedly committed suicide, and a lot of people think that it wasn't suicide, it was something else to keep him quiet. So I could see Maxwell sitting there, maybe thinking that, and thinking, if that happened to Mr. Epstein, I want it to get out there to anybody that might feel intimidated or threatened by this conviction that I have, that I am not naming names because I don't want to have the guards playing video games and falling asleep or doing whatever in my cell where I'm being held and have somebody come here. So I view that as a self-preservation mechanism, an alert out there to anybody. Don't come after me. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I don't want to die. I don't like prison. I don't want to be in prison. I'm going to appeal, but I don't want to die in here.
And see, that's so funny because I didn't even think of it like that. I was thinking of it more like, why would she turn over, you know, turn state's evidence or whatever and turn over against other people? That just ensures she's guilty.
Well,
you know, she won't have any grounds for appeal.
It makes sense to me.
If it was, and again, and we talked about this with Elizabeth Holmes last time, the prosecution, once they get the conviction, comes back and says, well, here's a way that you could maybe get a recommendation from us to the judge for a lighter sentence. How willing are you to cooperate with us in tracking down other people that might have been engaged in the same activity? And so that's the carrot for folks that have been convicted, and to get a reduced sentence for cooperating. And she's letting it be known, hey, everybody, don't worry. I ain't saying a thing. I'm not saying a thing. But that is the reason why they would be using that.
Well, incidentally, right after the feds dropped the charges against the guards,
yes,
they closed their case. And those guards,
yes,
you know, that were supposedly, in air quotes, on duty when Epstein was killed. Nothing now.
That's right. The cases against the guards have been dropped.
That's exactly true.
Yeah. A couple other interesting things are, first of all, I was thinking about this. It sounds like we're in a third world country, guys. I mean, I'm sounding like I'm in some place where the cartel's running. You know, it just the fact that we have to bring this up as a possibility really makes me cringe. You know, United States, I'm just I'm a flag bearer. You know, this is about freedom and innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, and we have a higher standard than the rest of the world. It sounds like we're in a third world country again, guys. It really does.
Well, we're in a time where we have alternate facts. You know, we're in a time when then people's realities and perceptions and point of views and opinions are all so different,
right,
that it's hard. It's hard for Americans right now to have unification.
True.
It's just hard.
You know what's interesting, too? Let's talk about the Prince Andrew. The lawsuit in August is civil case went against Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew. But don't forget there's an issue of does he have some sort of government
I thought the same thing. The fact, doesn't he have diplomatic immunity?
Yes. There's a thing, I think, called, what do they say? As a senior member of British royal family, there's a category called like royalty. You're released from liability or something because you're a member of a government that you can't be sued civilly for something you do. I don't know that law, but we're going to have to look into that because that seems interesting to me. So I know the lawyers for Prince Andrew are saying that they didn't bring out the details. They're going to try to get it dismissed because of that.
Well, that's probably one thing they're going to try to do. And then the argument against that is that no, he's been taken stripped of all the royal duties.
It's true, but it happened at the time period when he was a member of the government.
All I'm saying is the fact that he's facing liability is because his questions of diplomatic immunity and others is causing me to entirely reevaluate the plot of Lethal Weapon 2, where the South African government and ambassadors were all running amok in Los Angeles but had diplomatic immunity, so, you know, they couldn't do a dang thing against them. And if Epstein, or if... who is a Prince Andrew, can't take advantage of that, then I'm just going to stop watching that movie.
Well, I guess what the question is, that what the main thing...
Let's mention what's going on. So there is an alleged victim of Epstein who had a previous civil case against Epstein and settled with Epstein. And now she has sued Prince Andrew for allegedly having forced her into sexual relations while she was 17. And this is going to be one to watch because she has not lived in the United States for many years. She's currently residing in Australia and has for many, many, many years. And the venue that she chose to sue Prince Andrew is New York, because New York had opened the door, if you will, to children that are underaged people that were sexually abused, and they had a year they could bring all these different lawsuits, no matter how long ago it was that the acts actually occurred or the allegations actually occurred. And so we got so many things to bite on this. There's just pieces of it all over the place.
She was paid how much?
She was paid only $500,000, but that was way back in the day. And in the agreement, it was a confidential agreement, so there was a non-disclosure provision in that agreement that said that this is going to run to all your... run to all these other people that could be alleged to have done this act. And apparently there's some mention of royalty, and there's also some mention of professors.
Government.
Yeah, or professors, because it's what they're arguing is it's not only going to protect Prince Andrew, but that one provision that Epstein settled with her on also protects Dershowitz. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Because the same person has made allegations as against Dershowitz. Yeah.
But if Dershowitz and Andrew, Prince Andrew, did not pony up any cash as part of that agreement, I guess the question would be, do they have standing to even invoke that agreement?
They do.
Why is that?
Because it's called third-party beneficiary. Oh. So they're a beneficiary of that provision of the agreement. And that is a common, actually, cause of action.
But if she violates it, what's the penalty for that? I mean, do they get a court order, an injunction to preclude her from testifying and suing, and it makes it go away? Or does this constitute a breach for which she has to give the money back that she got, and to whom it would go to?
Yeah, they're kind of dismissed.
We actually don't know, because I don't think we've been able to... that part of the agreement hasn't been made public to really see what if there are some kind of consequential or liquid damages provision in that contract. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, because there are a lot of defenses. There are a lot of different reasons why she should not prevail. And I think Prince Andrew's going to get out of this. I just have this really deep feeling that he will probably get out of this, and I don't know why.
That's interesting. We're going to come back and talk about Nirvana, but don't forget one thing also about the Prince Andrew thing. I wonder if, as plaintiffs, they could argue, as lawyers, the person who holds that right died and doesn't have that right anymore, even though it's a third party. We'll talk more about Nirvana.
Stay tuned. Hour number 3 of Radio Law Talk comes up at 6 minutes after. If your local station turns off the show, you can always pick it up by going over to RadioLawTalk.com and listen live.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Help your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.